A barb.
Where are they? I mean, they're not even in the fucking game. You can't even have a fucking guild in the game yet.
It's quite complicated to get working. I know there was a fair amount of skepticism out there.
We've got to earn the belief. The game wasn't built.
Had a good opportunity to work on them, but they are in the works.
Refactor them, change things out, retrofit it, refactor them, refactor them. People program things.
This is bullshit.
All right, we are back with the special edition ARGcast with myself, Bucha, and the Agent, two of the most well-known Star Citizen haters. Well, kinda. How well known are we?
I'd say you're pretty well known. No one knows about me anymore. Ever since Derek stopped tweeting about me, no one seems to care about me anymore.
Ah, fair enough. Well, having to deal with that, yeah. I don't even know if I deal with the fame and fortune that comes with it. At least I don't know about the fortune part. So,
tons of money. I've made so much money off of dissing Star Citizen. It's unbelievable.
Yes, my checks from EA and Ubisoft line my pockets.
Yeah, now I'm used to talk shit about Shroud of the Avatar too, and man, huge paychecks from big publishers, huge.
Yep. So, last episode, we sort of got caught up on taking stock on what has happened since the last time we talked before Virtual Captain left us in this basement. So we're going to talk about some recent stuff. So one of the big things is the possibility of Star Citizen or Squadron 42 appearing at E3 as part of the PC Gamer PC's showcase.
Yep, and people have to remember this is where Chris Roberts has appeared before when AMD was running the PC Gamer Showcase. I don't think they are anymore. I think it's actually PC Gamer running it, the magazine. And you could go back to about 2014, 2013, when Roberts would appear at these places and literally try to sell you AMD cards, CPUs, GPUs, whatever he wanted, saying things like, and I believe this is pretty close to the quote that he used, that Star Citizen, you might not be able to run it on medium settings, but low-medium settings with an onboard graphics card when it finally releases in 2016.
Using the AMD chipset and whatnot.
Using the AMD CPU/GPU, you could do it, you could run Star Citizen using that.
I mean, I'm trying to remember the last time I actually played the Star Citizen pre-alpha, one of the modules and whatnot. I do remember playing a lot of Arena Commander and doing the hangar walk around, and it definitely required being on low settings, or else just sort of the room temperature would skyrocket about 10 degrees.
Right.
So I'm trying to recalling just as much, because I think at the time I had an NVIDIA 270 or 295 or something like that. This is back in 2013 sometime. So it not the top of the line, but fairly beefy graphics card for the time. I think I've updated once since then. So, going to say that an onboard chipset. Now, I'll admit, there have been a lot of good, advances in sort of just having an onboard chipset.
Yeah.
But as far as the needs of Star Citizen, historically, with any Chris Roberts video game, I think with the exception of Freelancer. Freelancer and Star Lancer, every single Chris Roberts game has required a dedicated hardware set to be able to run. Sort of going back to the 286 and 386s, you had to get the DX chip, you had to get that 2-4 megabytes of RAM, you had to do all the config bats and auto execs to get like the virtual memory going, and then you had like you know, the sound blasters, and you know, that was the best way to experience that. And then, you know, Wing Commander 3, sort of like you had to have an Intel 100 to be able to run Wing Commander 3, you know, within that day.
Oh yeah, I remember that. And don't forget, like, the that was the fledgling start of 3D graphics cards as well.
Oh god, yeah. I mean,
the Matrox Mystique was the, I think the 2 megabyte version was the first one I laid out real cash for.
I think mine was like a, I want to say it was like a Diamondback 2 meg, I want to say. I forget who made it. It was an SVGA graphics card maker, but that was one of their first major 3D accelerator cards that they made on the high end. And of course, you know, snap that up so I can play Wing Commander 3 and 4, you know, some semblance.
I think that was just Diamond. I think that was Diamond was the manufacturer.
Okay.
I mean, it's been so long. I mean, it's 25 years ago.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking. So, you know, AMD used to be a partner with Star Citizen and Chris Roberts until, at some point, both of them parted ways. Whether or not one dropped the other, it is a matter of debate and speculation to a certain extent. All that is very much apparent is they went their separate ways. And so now the new partner with Star Citizen is now Intel, of course, the big competitor. You know, are we going to see NVIDIA in the future? Are we going to see, I don't know, like, who else is in that space? I mean, like, you're running out of hardware manufacturers to pair up with.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, you know, having an Optane drive right now is such a waste of, I mean, if you want to go for and spend for the premium, go right ahead, but don't kid yourself like you're getting, you know, an extra minute of you know, free loading there. I mean, it's nothing. It's negligible. I mean, I'm running an old Samsung 840 Evo right now, and I load up Star Citizen just fine. Like, when people are saying Star Citizen takes like 10 minutes to load up, yeah, they're probably on a 7200 RPM old platter type drive, but any SSD will do you just fine. You might have a second, but that's not the problem. When you actually load up the game, and as we were talking about before, the performance issues, I mean, I'm running, I built this computer myself. It's fairly old, but I have a 980 Ti in it. It's i7 Intel. I mean, 16 gigs of RAM. It is not a cheap computer.
Yeah.
And Star Citizen runs like shit. It just runs so bad.
I mean, that's
so
more
bad.
The engine itself than it is really the computer.
Yeah, that really is. It's how the things were designed. Like, just walking around feels so clunky. Like, not even just the hitching. Like, I could deal with some frame loss for, you know, if you're, I'm running at a 4K, so of course, you know, I can't run at all the bells and whistles at 4K, yeah. But I'm expecting to at least get a solid 30 frames per second on medium, and it's just not there. I mean, I'm getting dips into the single digit categories all the time, and then plus it's just not fun. I mean, loading up the game and actually trying to play it, it's just not fun, especially if you're in the starter ships like I am. There's really not a whole lot to do. You need the more beefy ships to be able to do trade runs, to be able to do anything really that matters in the game.
Well, I mean, even trade runs are just like transport a box. It's not like you're transporting what, like,
oh, no,
hundreds
they,
of boxes?
They still have they have full cargo now, my friend.
Oh,
they
have
full cargo. Oh yeah.
Well, was it with the kiosk stuff?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can't, you know, as they talked about for years, oh, you'll be able to load it up. You'll be able to hire a man on the docks and he'll load up your gun. And you'll see each individual piece of cargo and be, that doesn't fucking work. But it does load it into your hull, whatever ship you bought for astronomical amounts of fucking money. It mm-hmm. will put it in the hull and you can blow it up and it'll fly around space. It'll actually fall in space, which is really fucking weird. and should tell people that there is a huge problem. Like, if you blow up a spaceship, cargo should be flying everywhere, not down. Not down. Cargo should not be falling down. And that shit happens every video I've seen where people are like, wow, we're going to blow up the ship. It's going to be killed. Let's do it. And the ship blows up and the explosion looks really cool. Of course, it goes to like 2 frames a second. And then the cargo just starts falling like down. And it's like, what the hell? Now they do it over the planets, or I should say over the moons.
Yeah.
To be like, wow, look, it's like it trapped in orbit and it's falling. And I'm like, what? No, it does that anywhere. You could go in the middle of space. It'll fall in a single... It falls in whatever direction the ship was... like. So if it was oriented a certain way and you blow it up, it'll fall directly down from wherever it was oriented. So, I mean, that should already tell you there's a couple fucking problems with their space sim right there.
So, I mean... Yeah, I mean, it's more engine problem, but as part of the PC gaming showcase, what would we expect to see? Sort of like, or rather, what does Chris Roberts want to show? What will they show, and what will go wrong?
Well, if it's last year, if you blinked, you missed it. But Chris Roberts was actually in the PC gaming showcase last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you could pull that up. It was literally him standing there smiling in like a brief shot of I think it might have been SC2.6 at the time. I can't remember what it was exactly they were showing, but it's like blink and you'll miss it. Here it is and it's gone. Like it was so quick. I think it might have been the first beginnings of what they were calling 3.0 at the time.
Right.
And that's all they showed. Like that's it. I mean, they didn't have like a here's Chris Roberts and he's gonna talk about Star Citizen
and crowdfunding and getting the community involved.
All of that shit. You'll notice all that shit stopped in late 2015, early 2016. Like, there's no one now inviting him. He used to get invited everywhere. GDC talks. He used to go everywhere and talk about crowdfunding, Kickstarter shit, blah blah blah. If you have him there now, it's a fucking embarrassment. I mean, I don't know if anyone in the world wants to have Chris come talk to them besides the people already giving him shitloads of money.
Yeah, I would suspect that Roberts has to pay for his appearances now.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise. I mean, he's an interesting figure if he would actually. It is quite fascinating to me because if you square up with him and actually ask him questions, he will reply truthfully to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the craziest thing, but you stick them on a stage, and all of a sudden, it's we'll do everything. There's no problems. Everything in the world is great. We'll simulate 9 billion NPCs, each with their own hopes and dreams. We'll put argon in the fucking we'll have the oxygen, nitrogen, and argon levels calculated for every room. But if you get them like on a one-on-one basis and just ask them, dude, what is going wrong? What is wrong with your shit right now? He'll tell you. I mean, he'll actually open up, which is why no one puts him in front of cameras anymore. Which is why they don't trot him out to do anything except for their own streams. No one wants to talk to him. I mean, or they probably don't want him to talk to people about these issues, like the 27K package, or what happened between him and AMD, or what happened with Star Marine. I mean, I think when they asked him about Star Marine, he gave pretty pointed and honest answers about it. Which, by the way, the backers still deny, like, Ilphonic's fault, that they didn't have the correct measurements. And this has been, as we talked about last episode, the measurements for models and the measurements for ships and the measurements across the entire game have been a problem for at least 3 fucking years and are not getting solved anytime soon. And to me, that's just crazy.
Well, you touched upon a certain figure that is causing a lot of contention right now. I guess you could call it the 27,000-pound gorilla or the 27,000-pound elephant in the room. But $27,000 for a ship pledge that they say this is what our concierge wanted as a ship package, and we're only happy to give them that package for them to buy either with cash or with store credit so that they feel like they got a deal out of it. And it has been, I'd probably say, universally derided, and even within the little bubble of the Star Citizen reality, inside that bubble, it's been causing a little bit of a stir.
Well, yeah, when you sell anything for almost 30 grand, I mean, if I came on a show and said, hey, yeah, the other day I just bought $30,000 worth of Hearthstone cards, people would be like, what the fuck? What are you doing spending 30 large on Hearthstone cards, man? Like, you have a fucking problem. But apparently, if you buy them for virtual ships that don't exist in a game that doesn't exist yet, I mean, I should take that back. I am the firm believer that what you're playing right now is Star Citizen.
Right.
So I should crouch that. But you're buying pre-orders. You're pre-ordering stuff that might not show up for 3 or 4 years. I mean, where the fuck is the Banu Merchant Man? Why are you laying down 27K? For a ship package, including the fucking Banu Merchant Man, that has not yet been seen. It keeps being trotted out and then thrown away and then brought back and then thrown away again. I mean, what the fuck?
The Banu Merchant Man remains in its natural habitat in concept.
Yeah, it's like fucking Bigfoot. I mean, you just hear all these stories about it, and there's rumors and grainy photographs and shit, but you can't get your hands on it. It's intangible.
But you can pay for it.
But I will take you to where they make it, and I will show that to you, and I will take your money for it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, is it quite literally a $27,000 nothing burger in this case, but or is it... Is it something that we can read into even more? As I mean, like, it's hard to correlate to say, oh, they're asking for $27,000 for this ship package. They must be really fucking desperate. But on the other hand, sort of like, you know, the average backer ain't paying for this. It's their whales.
Well, unfortunately, I believe that the whales have become the average backer.
I mean...
I don't see anybody... even the people that have invested... I'm sorry, guys. If you've invested less than $2,500 into Star Citizen, you are not a whale. You are a minor bump on the road and will get stepped over for the people willing to put in $10,000 to $20,000 a year in this game.
And that's just... I mean, that kind of figure is just mind-boggling to me. Like I'm putting that much money into like health insurance myself.
$10,000 or $20,000 a year. I mean, that pays for my entire gaming habit several times over. I mean, and I am as I mentioned, I think a couple weeks ago when we were on, I spend stuff on video games pretty healthily. I'm a really bad person with money, and Star Citizen should be like the ultimate thing that markets to someone like me. I mean, I would have been, if I actually really liked the game, $1,000 to be in the Chairman's Club or whatever, that would have been no problem. I would have been there in less than 3 months, probably on one stupid drunk purchase. But the game has to be fun. I have to like play your game and be like, wow, this game is fun. Let me give you money because I appreciate how fun your game is.
Right, so, I mean, like, isn't it, like, I don't think $27,000 package, I mean, sort of like, you know, we had this sort of same discussion back when, or, like, I guess we as in sort of, like, you know, as Something Awful Forms and, you know, Gaming Press and, you know, even Star Citizen backers as a whole, sort of back when the Completionist package, you know, the $15,000 package was the thing. And... You know, even back then, sort of like, you know, the $15,000 package wasn't an indication that, you know, things were dire. $27,000 package doesn't really indicate the same thing. Or rather, it doesn't indicate what we want it to be, as in sort of like, ah, Star Citizen is going to fail or anything like that. Or, I mean, it is a higher price point. It is directed towards a very small part of their player base, but a very large part of their market. Yes.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the thing. I mean, if you look at people like me who put $45 into this, thinking, okay, well, maybe in a couple years it'll be something fun, and I'll fly around with my friends and shoot stuff, you know, play for like a couple months or whatever, and then table it until patches come out, or I mean, whatever, just like a normal way you play a fucking game. But apparently there's people in here. I mean, what blows my mind is you have people like Montoya talking about how this is nothing because his whole organization is full of like 25,000 billion people, and everyone's going to have a ship, and they're all going to be able to crew it, and everyone's putting in like $100 each to be able to do all this. I'm like, okay, well, where is the mechanic for actually sharing your ships with your org? Where the fuck is that? I think that got talked about a long time ago. And they mentioned something about being able to rent out ships to other people, and they meant like to be able to have different types of ownership depending on your org. But where are the fucking org? Like, where are those mechanics? Where are they? I mean, they're not even in the fucking game. You can't even have a fucking guild in the game yet. So why are you buying all this shit, thinking that one day they'll just magically all appear? And do you ever know what it's like dealing with a fucking WoW guild full of 5,000 people? You would want to fucking kill yourself if you ran that guild, or instantly leave and be a part of like a 5-person group. You do not want to deal with 5,000 fucking people. You don't want to deal with 500 people. They're going to have to put a cap on all these orgs. Probably something small, maybe 100 or 200, and that's going to be it. So if you guys are part of these like orgs and you're funneling money up the chain and you're giving it directly to one guy, he's eving you. He's going to fuck you over, man. Like, that's just how it's going to go. And honestly, there's nothing you're going to be able to do. It's just going to be like Eve all over again. Where, you know, 100 people are going to bitch, hey, they stole my stuff. And they're like, well, did you give it to him? And they're like, well, yeah. Well,
but he's a bad person.
Yeah, but he should really have not been stupid then. But still, I'm going to be mad about it. So fuck you.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, I think about it sort of like, you know, you say, you know, there's no org mechanics right now. And, like, part of me is arguing sort of like, well, there's so much more of the game that needs to be done. But on the other hand, if you're selling a package based upon if you're selling a package and advertising it as this is not intended for a single person, this is intended for an organization, and you don't even have like the organization roles, mechanics, and design well laid out so people can look at it and say, okay, if you know if we all pitch in for this package, we all get a piece of it because of X, Y, and Z, as opposed to, oh hey, let's get a couple new ships. It'll work out in the future. Trust me. Promise me. And, you know, it just kind of turns into sort of like there's so much wrong. And there's so much wrong going on.
Well, I mean, not even org mechanics. What about party mechanics? The last time I tried to actually play with Beat in the game, just trying to add him as a friend and group with him was like a fucking Herculean task. I mean, seriously, it was like, oh, Anemian Stables. That shit was easy compared to trying to group up in fucking Star Citizen. I mean,
is it still based off of, the Spectrum stuff? Or is it, like, no, unconnected?
I have no idea. So now you open up the chat. First, chat used to be there all the time, right? So
yeah.
You'd open up it was the Nemean Lion, not the fucking Stables. Anyway, but you'd open it up with like F, like before it would always be on the screen, right? But now you have to open it up with F12.
Oh yes, so because Chris Roberts hated the chat screen.
Yeah, but now it's just there, it's just hidden, right? So now you open it up and there's no like to do a slash invite. Like there's nothing works the way it's supposed to. There was a bug, a really bad bug, where people in your friends list would be listed as offline even if they were online, and that still apparently happens, because they'll be Beat and I will be online at the same time, and I'll try to invite him, and it'll say, nope, he's offline. And it's like, well, I'm watching his fucking Twitch stream, like, right now. He is online, my friend. So, just trying to group up is just really messy. It's just bad, and, you know, you're talking about having 10 or 15 people on a ship doing different stuff on their crew. How are they all going to communicate? Now you're thinking, okay, we're going to go all through Spectrum. Everyone's going to have face over IP. Well, what happens if one person in your crew doesn't have that or doesn't want that, or the bandwidth isn't good enough? You know, they're off in some bumfuck rural area and somewhere. So they can't have that. So now what happens? I mean, these are all questions that backers... You know, don't look at it like we're being negative. Just ask yourself the question of, wait, how is that going to work? Don't say, oh, Chris Roberts knows. Chris Roberts understands game design. This is the man that brought you such wonderful things as, well, I don't know how to fix the crash to desktop, so I'll just, you know, when they exit, so I'll just say, thanks for playing Wing Commander. I mean, this literally fucking happened. I mean, so, yeah. So don't think that they have some magical solutions. This is software fucking development. It's all held together by duct tape. It's awful. It's really awful. So, especially if you don't have any design docs and you continue to change how the game plays in a live environment, which is what they're doing right now. So, and you're getting, by the way, anyone that's paying for all these ships and Star Citizen, all that stuff, you're getting the casts off of Squadron 42. So the real development this whole time is going to be on Squadron 42, and you're getting all the shit that's trickling downhill. This is why you're getting faces that are appearing in Squadron 42. This is why you're getting ships that are appearing in Squadron 42. This is why you're getting areas that are appearing in Squadron 42. So enjoy, I guess, being the cast off of Chris Roberts' mocap dream.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had a theory that, like, all the Squadron all the Star Citizen stuff was actually going to get folded into Squadron 42, as opposed to one of the rumors or theories was that Squadron 42 would actually be rolled into Star Citizen and just be the one executable through Star Citizen. And I'm thinking, like, nope. I think everything goes towards Squadron 42, and maybe at some point there will be a separate executable for Star Citizen. Who knows?
Well, yep. It's funny how this changes. So if you remember when the leak came out 2 years ago or so about them combining the two together, saying they were no longer separate executables, right? They're going to be one place, and it's going to be named the same thing, just with different ways. Well, everyone lost their fucking minds. Reddit said, no, that cannot be possibly true. There's no way they're going to fucking combine them. It's going to be two separate things. Look, you can pay for two separate fucking things, etc., etc. And then comes the Crytek lawsuit, and now all of a sudden those same people were saying there are two different games, they're two separate fucking things, are now saying, oh, they're the same thing the whole time.
And but over on the other side of the pond, it's like, no, they're two separate things, because we gave COTS all the, as collateral, we gave them all of Squadron 42.
Oh, geez, yeah, this, I mean, I know we've mentioned about Hollywood accounting beforehand, but I mean, this has got to be one of the biggest projects of having tax breaks. I mean, we saw Ilphonic get that big tax break of $750,000 from, I forget where they were.
Colorado.
Yeah. So they get a huge, you know, that's, I think that was 20% of their development almost. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, and this, by the way, I'm just going to bring up Derek Smart. He actually was the one to bring this to my attention. I did not notice, I had never heard of that before. And so that was something that was new to me, or at least news to me. So good on him for talking about the Ilphonic tax break. But that was 20% of their development that they got back in tax breaks. So really, what really fucking chaps me is that we're the people paying taxes are helping this whatever game Chris Roberts is developing go forward. And that was the number one Hollywood accounting thing, is if you don't have to pay for it with your own money, don't. And if you can get taxpayers to pay for it, even fucking better.
As a man of the tribe once said, never put your own money in the show.
Exactly. Exactly. And they're doing a very good job of avoiding that. They're doing a very good job of avoiding putting any of their own money in. There was talk a year and a half ago about them pumping up something about them putting money in to try to prop up their own value. I have no idea if that's true or not. But I can also see them having employees put value back into the company, saying, hey, don't invest in your 401k, invest in the company, because the company is going to be awesome. Just pour 10% of your paycheck back in, and you'll get a percentage back when this all launches.
I mean, like, how frequent is that in the games industry, sort of pumping? I mean, like maybe for like a publicly traded company like EA or Activision would say, hey, if you want to, if you already got shares but you don't want any more shares, you can pump part of your paycheck into the company for a better stock price. Like, you could probably do that, but for like a private company, I don't really see an advantage to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of places, a lot of indie developers or a lot of Kickstarter places do this. because it's all, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a scam, but they need the money. Mm-hmm. Because when they ask for, you know, $5,000 to develop a video game, well, you quickly realize after your $750 pizza party for hitting your fucking Kickstarter, you don't have a lot of fucking money left over. So now you're like, oh shit, we're gonna need a lot more money. So you start doing all these things, and then of course my favorite is, you know, let's say you hit your Kickstarter goal of $250,000. First thing you go do is buy the nice fancy offices, and you hire yourself the nice sexy secretary, and you do all this good stuff because now you're a you know, a titan of industry. I mean, you're making something, obviously, so you're very important. So you are
a success, and yes, you should act like it.
Yeah, so really the making of the thing is secondary because you're already got a bunch of money to be successful. So, and I see this happen. It happens in almost every industry. It happens in the industry I'm in all the fucking time. Happens in the software industry. Happens in video games. Happens in movies quite a lot. So it's like this thing of, oh, I made this small accomplishment. People like me. So therefore, the production of the thing I was saying is really secondary to the original goal of being awesome.
And you like raising money more than you like developing.
Yeah. Well, you actually like, and you like the accolades. I mean, this is why I think the Star Citizen has come along so far as it has, is because people want to like Chris Roberts, and people want to give him money, and I totally get that. He's actually quite an affable guy. Mm-hmm. He's not a very smart man, in my opinion, but that's okay. He's made buddies with a lot of very smart people, I will say mm-hmm. that, and who have made him and their friends a lot of money. But again, you don't have to be smart to make a lot of money. I think this was just brought up recently. You don't have to be smart to make a lot of money. It's very there's a lot of stupid people with a lot of fucking money, and they spend it very terribly, like myself.
Yeah. So I mean, like you touched upon the Hollywood accounting, and that's sort of like that is one of the very unique things about Star Citizen, because you know when we think about like large companies like, you know, EA, you know, they have like separate sub companies that will, you know, work in different regions, sort of like you have a US distributor for EA, or you have a headquarters like in Delaware for tax purposes. You know, like usually depending on the size of the company, you would have, you know, different companies within that company to, you know, to better facilitate what's going on globally. So, for example, Frontier has had three companies in total: Frontier Developments in Cambridge, one in the U.S. for distribution, and I think they had one in Canada during the beta until they dissolved that. So, essentially, Frontier has two companies. Star Citizen has 20.
Yeah, and that's just what we know of, by the way. I mean, if you look at Ortwin's little backhanded dealings, I mean, he has companies propping up companies. I mean, when I deep delved into his background and looked at some of the stuff, looking into, you know, his bounce house company with a single employee. I mean, what the fuck is a dude running a bounce house company in L.A. with one singular employee? It's fucking crazy. Yeah. But there's tons of these set up, and what they do is so like for raising money for like movies, and not a lot of people know this, is that you would start like a new company. You'd have like so Ortwin did this with like Two Guns, I think.
That was Twin Bros Wahlberg. Or something.
No, that was Two Guns. Yeah, so there was a movie with Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington called Two Guns, I think. Hold on, let me check.
Yeah, we need so. To give people a perspective, sort of like, so there are currently six companies. There used to be nine in the registered in the U.S. So like Cloud Imperium Games Corp, Cloud Imperium Games LLC, Cloud Imperium Rights LLC, Cloud Imperium U.S. LLC, Cloud Imperium Games Texas LLC, Cloud Imperium Games LLC, Robert Space Industries Corp, Robert Space Industries LLC, Robert Space Industries LLC as well. There were two in Texas, one still remains, three in Texas, two remain. One is in Delaware that was registered in 2017. Let's see, the Cloud Imperium Rights, yes, that was the one that took down a couple of the Evocati leaks videos, yes. And to include the Pornhub links.
Yes, they did. They did decide to take down those Pornhub leaks, which was unfortunate because Sandy's performance. Not to talk bad about Sandy, but I will. But because she's just a terrible actress. I mean, if she had any talent, I wouldn't be smashing her. It was so bad. I mean, it was so. If you guys missed that Pornhub leak of her acting, this is what you're gonna find in Squadron 42. I mean, this is gonna be, and she is in a lot of it, by the way. Yeah. What I've heard from the over 85% of the script features her. So just keep that in mind with her wooden. What we're gonna have to fly into it. I mean, that was, you know. You're gonna have to fly into the thing to shoot it. I mean, I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm literally saying that was her acting during this. And of course, you have all these amazing people next to her. You know, Strong and Hamill. All these guys are talking. My God, this is a huge ship. What are we going to do? This is amazing. Fucking A. Oh, Jesus Christ. We're gonna. What do you mean? We're gonna have to fly into it. It was bad. It was really fucking bad.
So, I guess one of the more recent things is sort of like, Cloud Imperium did close down one of their, they closed down three this last year. So, Robert Space Industries Corp. in California dissolved on March of 2018. Robert Space Industries LLC out of California dissolved in March of 2018. Cloud Imperium Games LLC Texas was dissolved, but we don't have a date for that. So, one of the rumors is that Cloud Imperium Games is no longer doing business in California.
Yeah, and so that's, it becomes a very weird thing, looking through all of this, and, they've essentially, that corporation that they had is, it can no longer do business in California, but there's a lot of stuff with, unless it's a foreign-owned company and all this other shit, so they can still operate and take your money in California, by the way.
And take tax money.
Yes, correct. So it's very strange, but again, this is how, when they structured 20 plus companies or however many fucking they have, doing this, this is, I hate to break it to people when they say, oh, this is normal. This is just what people do. This is what smart companies do because my God, no, this is what people do to avoid getting their books looked at. And smart companies do that. Like Wells Fargo did that. So people wouldn't snoop too much into what the fuck they were doing. Like, this is a company on the up and up doesn't close and shutter and reopen and rename and transfer and do all this shit, like, every 3 months, which is what CIG, RSI, or whatever the fuck you want to call them now, keeps doing. This is a very lawyery way of getting out of paying something or of hiding money. Or of saying, oh, not our company, which they've been doing for a while now, too.
For the refunds, yes.
For the refunds and for the Skadden lawsuit. Nice. They're like, oh, you're suing the wrong fucking company, morons. And it's like, well, we're actually suing every company. Because it was great in that a lot of people haven't read the Skadden lawsuit. You should go read it. It's quite hilarious, the bickering back and forth. But Skadden lays it out very precisely and cleanly. Like, hey, we're not only suing you. We need to, like, discover what we're suing. Because here's the list of 14 companies that we see that we can, like, kind of deal with. Are there more? And then the response from CIG was, well, you're suing the wrong company, and also we don't want to give you any more of our company names, and this is just all ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. Oh, this lawsuit is so frivolous. Why are we even talking about this? Just go.
Yeah.
And they really need, if you haven't read the back and forth, go ahead. I mean, I know Derek has it in his Twitter feed somewhere buried amongst all of the L's that he posted. But you can also find them on Pacer. There's a free Pacer site that you don't have to pay the $2 court fee for each PDF or whatever. You can find them. They're all free. They won't have the most updated ones, but you could go look at the responses back and forth. It is fantastic, and this is why I will be at the courthouse on the day that it happens, because I want to give you the best investigative journalism, and that is a complete lie. I just want to be completely fucked off my ass and drunk and sitting in the courtroom to listen to all this stuff.
Well, unfortunately, I can't be there, but I have seriously considered hiring a court sketch artist to draw the proceedings, except in the case that everyone on the CIG side is a bear, and everybody not is a cat.
I would, you know what, you need to start a GoFundMe, because I would chip in some money for that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked, sort of like, oh, you just start a Patreon, or like a, you know, some sort of, you know, donate for Suncost Galaxy. It's like, no, I don't want any money for that, but I would seriously consider a GoFundMe for a comedic sketch artist to do that.
Yeah, that would be much better than my my sketching, by the way, which would be little stick figures who are drawn very terribly.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Hollywood accounting is interesting in the sense that for Hollywood itself, for the movie industry, as you said, it is very much about screwing people out of money promises. That you know, they made, like I mentioned last episode, was like the David Prowse deal with Return of the Jedi, where Lucasfilm and Fox said, nope, there is absolutely no profit. Sorry, you get no cut.
Yeah, yeah, and it's it happens a lot, actually, especially with very big popular movies. And this, I should say, it happened a lot. And nowadays, there's a lot less of that going on, mostly because of the agencies involved don't like those loopholes. So if you're with Creative Associates or whatever, they're not going to be like, oh yeah, fuck us over. We don't want, you know, the agent doesn't want their 10% off of this. Oh no, hell no. They're going to be watching every dime that goes into that.
Oh yeah. So what does it mean for a video game company to do it? I mean, we talk about sort of like this is how they're moving the money around. So obviously, sort of like the basis of Hollywood accounting is that you give money to one company and you make that company so it's always operating at a loss.
Correct.
And by the end of production, the goal is for that company to have lost all its money.
Yes.
And that money, and that company is the one that's paying out sort of like a, usually it's marketing, distribution, and I think it's like construction or just like a production cost.
It's the highest level cost. So you funnel it off and you say, my God, it's taken us $200 million, and we'll never recoup that. Meanwhile, the other companies you set up are all making money off of it.
Yeah, so the company responsible for, say, marketing gets paid, and they have an income based upon what they make off the marketing, and they say, oh yeah, no, we're fine. Whereas typically, sort of like, you know, I looked through my old contract, and from my perspective, it wasn't going to look good, even if this thing was made. So, you know, again, for those of you that may have gotten a profit sharing agreement out of Star Citizen, check your contract again.
Yeah, and that's something that everyone needs to be very careful of. I mean, this goes, I mean, not even just with Star Citizen. If you bought into the Seed Invest site for Shroud of the Avatar, and you plop down that $30,000 for that golden castle, and you're thinking you're going to get at least a return of your money, you are woefully mistaken, my friend. Your shares are worth less than a tenth of a penny at this point, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, closing down one of the shell companies, what does that actually mean? So, it would be a case of, I don't know, are they closing it down because they don't want to move money through a California-registered company? That they would rather ship it through, say, like Texas?
Well, Delaware is actually the reason why I think it's like 60% of all companies in America get registered in Delaware. It's because of how their arbitration and lawsuits are structured there, which is much different than, let's say, California, especially since California did away with that whole... So before in California a couple of years ago, you used to be able to sue somebody, and the guy that you were suing could come back and be like, oh, well, you're doing it all wrong. And then you'd start the process over again without even really seeing a judge. So I forget what that was actually called, but that was a huge change that just happened in 2016 or 2015, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So now when you sue somebody, you have to both, like, be on the up and up. You can't just say, oh, well, you're suing the wrong company. You're not doing this. You didn't do this right, blah, blah, blah. You both actually have to go. The paperwork gets reviewed. You can't just kick it out because of some technicality. It continues on, and then you make the case of if the lawsuit should proceed. Delaware, you can still give the runaround for 5 or 10 years. This is why in California, people are saying, you know, a lawsuit would take, you know, 7 years to settle out. It's because whoever you were suing could keep giving you the runaround for year after year after year. I think it was up to 10 dismissals they could put before you, before a judge, or something like that, 8 or 10, before a judge would even look at the case. So now,
and that doesn't happen. This is just civil suits.
Yes, yeah, correct. I mean, any criminal case, that's not going to happen. The civil stuff, yeah, because the courts are already overloaded. But then this bullshit just kept stacking up and stacking up and stacking up. They said no more. Let's get to the case. Let's see the case right now. And of course, there's still delays. People can ask, you know, like we're seeing with the SCAD and CIG thing right now. You can go back and forth on discovery. You can go back and forth on timelines. Judges get sick. Judges can't make it. You get switched over in the courts. I mean, things happen. Things get delayed. So obviously, we're not going to see a resolution to this anytime soon. I think it won't be until 2019 or so, maybe late 2018, before this even gets before a judge with just the lawyers talking, not even open court. But yeah, it's not for them shutting down California. It probably means they don't want to get sued in California. That's my biggest takeaway from this. And having to run around people from California to the Delaware court, not just Skadden, by the way. I'm talking about actual backers who are trying to get refunds by suing them. You're going to get the Delaware runaround, and you're not going to be fucking happy about it. Let me tell you, if you're trying to get your $25,000 out of Star Citizen right now, have fun with the 4-year lawsuit. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
And so, like, you know, you talk about refunds. So one of the other shell companies that is up that operates for CIG is Twin Brothers Productions, also owned by Ortwin Framerth. And for those who have gotten a refund, you may recognize it as one of the people that has issued the refund in your bank statement. So, and Twin Brothers was set up in 1995. And
yeah,
well before any of the Star Citizen talk happened.
No, and it's also a German company, by the way, I believe. I believe it's Twin Bros GmbH or something, right?
Well, there is the German one, yes, but they have the Twin Brothers Production Incorporated in California and Twin Bros Productions Incorporated in California. The Twin Brothers is 1995. The Twin Bros is 1991. So wow. This is like, these are like ancient shell companies that Ortwin has set up for a long time. And like, you look at it sort of like, huh, Ortwin's been in this game for a long time, hasn't he?
Oh, he really has. He really has. I mean, I was just looking it up. So here's some of the benefits of being a Delaware corporation, by the way. You do not have to disclose your officers or directors for when you file the company's formation. Mm-hmm. If you're incorporated in Delaware but do not do operations in Delaware, your state's corporate income tax will not apply. So instead, they pay a franchise tax, which is much lower than your income tax.
I bet, yeah.
So there's a flat fee for limited partnerships and companies, which is fine. They also have a court of chancery, which is what I was talking about before. That's this court of chancery thing. It's very strange, and again, I don't want to turn this into law chat because, as everyone knows, I'm not a lawyer and know nothing about it.
Yeah.
But it's just very interesting that there are some benefits of course, being a Delaware corporation, and that includes being sued and getting some serious tax breaks, which we both know that Chris Roberts loves the tax breaks. I mean, I shouldn't say Chris Roberts. I should say the people running the company. I don't know if it's Chris. I mean, to me, Chris doesn't seem like a money guy. He never came across as a money guy. He doesn't seem
as
like
in money smarts or money
yeah,
desire.
Like I mean, I think he likes money, but I like money too. We share that directly in common. So I don't think he's the guy with, like, you know, his finger on the pulse of every dollar coming in and going, oh shit, we need to pull that here and this needs to go here. I think he's trusted this to
Ortwin
and probably the Elms brothers and a lot of other higher ups who are used to creating shell companies and creating offshore accounts and tax breaks and tax shelters and getting more tax back for business operations in certain states. I mean, obviously, there's I had no idea that Colorado was paying game companies to produce games there. So obviously, that really must have factored into choosing Illphonic to make Star Marine.
But you know, the funny thing about that Colorado thing is, like, I was reading a follow up article to that. It's like Colorado is actually going to be cutting that program by about 80%.
Yeah, it was too much fraud. There was no oversight. I mean, it might not be fraud, but it was people weren't submitting the paperwork and still getting the money back. People were abusing the system and getting more money than they should have. And the case that they cite, the case that if you look at why they're stopping for Colorado, is a company received $764,000 for kickback or for tax breaks related to, you know, their game development, which they should not have received, blah, 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 blah. But that was the only, Illphonic was the only company to receive that amount of money.
Yeah.
They were the only one to receive $764,000, if you look back. So that's sort of naming and shaming without actually doing it. But yeah, that's not good. I mean, it's just not good to have this kind of hoaxery, sales fuckery going on with all this stuff. It's just, it doesn't scream to me like, hey, we're a company, we're up and up, we're going to give you a good product, and you're going to give us money in return, which I think everyone just wants to see.
Yeah, I mean, it is a problem that Chris Roberts has dealt with, or has had to deal with over the course of his Hollywood career, both as a producer and as a director, is not looking guilty. He has a problem with that. Especially sort of like, you know, one of the things, you know, with him and Ort, when back when VIP Manifold, so sort of like, you know, one of the talking points Roberts talked about early on was, oh, we funded $750 million worth of German money into film projects.
That was one of their accomplishments, yes.
Yes, and so what actually turned out was VIP Manifolds got hit by the German government for a large fraud case, and they shut down that method of tax recouping and, you know, fraudulent activities, which pretty much brought VIP Manifolds sort of like, the parts of VIP Manifolds that Ortwin dealt with was typically VIP 3, VIP 4. Now, the distinction between those isn't really clear, but the gist that I got is just subdivision, sort of like your major production, your minor indie production, and you are like Bollywood. You know, you are Chinese and Japanese market, stuff like that. So that's it, typically what the VIP manifolds, you know, 1 through, I think it was like, right, 7. And so, and I think it was 2010. So this was about the time that Chris Roberts is really starting to get the idea for Star Citizen in his head. In 2010, previous investor in VIP manifolds actually approached the German court system to say, hey, I lost my money because of fraudulent activity by this company. And so they brought in just witnesses of what the company did. And Chris Roberts and Orwin Freyermuth were witnesses that were called to Germany. And so, and also, a couple of days before they were to show up in court, Ortwin and Chris Roberts sold Ascendant Pictures to Bigfoot Productions. And Ascendant Pictures had done a lot of work with VIP Manifolds, specifically VIP 3 and VIP 4. So they were part of the German tax funneling fraudulent activities, and they sold off their company right before they appeared in court. And the judges, from what I understand, took this as sort of like, what the hell are you guys doing? Do we need to put you on the other stand?
Oh, my God.
And I think what happened was Chris Roberts had no idea the implications that was going to have on his on his witness disposition.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to him not really understanding the business hierarchy of where all this money is going and coming from. I mean, it just and that, by the way, that is a total revelation to me about that. I mean, I know if you look, it's funny too. Speaking of German tax, you know, breaks in regards to Hollywood, that there for many years this happened, and one of the most famous guys, I think, to use it was the guy who beat up low tax.
Oh, U Bull.
Yeah, yeah. So he was essentially the guy who would pull in these huge funded amounts of tax break money, and it's absolutely staggering how much they were getting a year over year. I mean, just you know, tens of millions of dollars to create these garbage films, and everyone was happy that they didn't sell well. So it's mind-boggling. But yeah, that's funny that it leads all the way back to something awful and some minor connection.
Yeah, I mean, but even in the case of U-Bull, was that U-Bull was actually making movies, whereas only 20% of the funds coming in from VIP manifolds was to be spent, and the rest considered as lost, and that kind of filtered out into lining executive pockets.
Yeah, and you could see, I mean, you know, you can tell that there is something going on. Starts. Yeah. Is Chris Roberts the greedy gold master over everything? I don't believe that is. I believe, you know, when I have talked with people about Chris Roberts, they do not see that he thinks it's a scam in any way, shape, or form. He thinks he's building the best fucking game ever made.
Yeah, and he will and continue. I think he will continue to believe that until somebody grabs him by the shoulder and says, "It's time to put on this parachute. Get on a boat," kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't think. I mean, who knows? You know, you had Peter Molyneux or whatever come out and just basically admit that he talks up too much hype and that he is a little bit of a fraud. But then again, you also have people like Richard Garriott coming out and saying that, well, there's really no good game designers in the entire game industry besides myself, Peter Molyneux, and Chris Roberts.
Yeah,
it's like, what the fuck. But anyway, but getting the shuttering of the companies and the Hollywood accounting, that's very interesting information. Are you gonna do a video about that specifically?
Oh yeah, yeah, when we go to Hollywood, that is the next full chapter of Sunk Cost Galaxy is Chris Roberts' adventures in California and what all that context means.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff that you can get into. That I mean, there's rumor mill stuff. There's a lot of things that I've heard about Chris Roberts when he came out here and started making movies that are not exactly flattering. Mm-hmm. But then again, I've done a lot of unflattering things too. So yeah. Not a big deal. And if I had the money, I'd probably do a lot more. But yeah, the whole thing of the whole sex club thing at CIG. I know you've probably heard those rumors too. Or maybe not. I don't know. But I thought that was very strange that there are some people who are going to these parties and spending absolute insane amounts of money being part of these Hollywood elite sex parties, which are very strange. It's very strange for a video game company to be doing that. Not video game executives. They do some crazy shit, and they are mirrored to the Hollywood industry pretty closely. But to have a startup like Star Citizen be pulling this kind of stuff and some of their people doing that, there's so much shit about this clothing companies doing all this stuff.
I mean, like for the sex club stuff, I have to say I can neither confirm nor deny what I have heard about these things.
I mean, to have
both in California and one in Texas.
Yes, I don't know, but again, I have heard about the Texas the strip club stuff, which was very interesting. Yeah. But I can't personally speak on that. That was just a random post that I read.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like even for like the sex club stuff. I mean, like at a certain point, sort of like, it's too stupid to talk about, really.
I mean, yeah, it's so ridiculous to have an employee stand up at the end of the day. Now, this, again, who knows? People fuck with me all the time, please. So this could not be. But to have someone say to me, "Yeah, I was getting tired of them standing up at the end of every day around 7 o'clock and saying, hey, I'm going to head to, by the way, very famous sex club in LA for a session. Who else wants to go?" And then have people go with them. It blows my fucking mind that now the thing is too is that this started happening when a very young set of people started working at Star Citizen.
Right.
So I gotta tell you, when I was 22 or 20 and I was still working at Sony Online, we got up to some crazy shit too, and not like the executives did on corporate credit cards, by the way, paying for their mistresses and shit, which 100% happened. But yeah, there's obviously some really weird stuff going on with Star Citizen. It's fantastic. I love it.
Well, when the money is flowing, you know, fast and quick, maybe you kind of lose sight of the future and just live in the present.
But sounds what if like you were equally fast and quick?
I don't have any expertise on that.
Jeez.
And I think on that bombshell, we'll end this episode of the special episode of the Ardcast without Virtual Captain, except at the end.
except I am here. What's up?
Came back, Dave. That's right at the end.
Yes. So in any case, hopefully when we pick up. The professionalism will return to the Ardcast. So, in any case, this has been Butcha, and with the agent, and finally Virtual Captain. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.